It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a Realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. Five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
Sunday, May 26th, the greatest spectacle in racing returns. The Indianapolis 500 on NBC and Peacock. 33 of the world's fastest drivers go head-to-head for a chance to kiss the bricks, taste the milk, and claim their place in racing history. Experience the drama, the pageantry, the tradition. Live from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Indy 500. Sunday, May 26th on NBC and Peacock. Or listen on Sirius XM NBC Sports Channel.
I would trade up this draft and just going in as much as you can say about it until you see what's there, who's on the other end of the line. But, yeah, I would trade up to, since we're down as low as we are in those first two or three rounds, if we had a chance to and somebody that we had really coveted was sitting at the bottom, Frederick. We're sitting down there at the bottom and we were able to trade up and get it.
Jerry Jones would like to trade up if he can. Remember, they were trying to trade up to get Paxton Lynch in 2016. It failed, but it succeeded because they got Dak Prescott in round four. Paxton Lynch currently. Last I saw of Paxton Lynch, is he? Oh, he's in the USFL, I think.
Something like that. I think so.
Right. Yeah, he's one of the quarterbacks in the USFL, which debuts on Saturday night, by the way. We're supposed to talk about something else. I still am dubious about spring football. I'm going to give it a try again.
Yeah.
USFL, televised by Fox and NBC. XFL coming next year. They named the eight coaches yesterday because, hey, the USFL is actually going to be playing games. We better do something. Let's go on ESPN and name our coaches. But we'll see. We'll see if there's an appetite for spring football. There's a reason why it's failed in every iteration for the past 40 years. But I'm going to give it a try. It could work this time, Pete says. It could work this time. We're not allowed to remind everybody of reality that spring football has failed at every turn for the last 40-plus years. I'm going into it with an open mind, and I think the proliferation of gambling could make a difference because people want things to bet on, and if they bet on it, they're going to want to watch it. We'll see how it plays out. Anyway, that's a topic for another segment or another day. Which doesn't belong and why? Let's begin with quarterback needy teams that have a top 10 pick. Panthers at 6, Falcons at 8, Seahawks at 9. Which doesn't belong and why?
Well, I don't think any of them belong. That's what I want to say, really. I don't think any of them are taking a quarterback in the top 10. I don't think the way it looks right now, and I understand with this class, I mean, Matt Corral to me is the only guy that's got the talent to go, I would, okay, maybe do that and do that, take him in top 10. That's for me. But the way reading the tea leaves, the NFL – the quarterback, incompleteness as far as, yeah, Corral's got all this talent. There's a few, I think, off-the-field things like we talked about, he's still got some things you'd like to improve on the field. Malik Willis, you see some big-time talent, but it's very raw. Kenny Pickett, like we talked about, it's like, okay, there's no wow factor at all. I don't think a quarterback's going in the top 10. I don't think any of these teams will take one in the top 10. But if you're going to ask me which one doesn't belong and why, I'm going to go with the Falcons just because I think they're sold on their quarterback at least for this year. I think they have a real affection for Marcus Mariota, and there's a relationship there with Arthur Smith and him to where he knows what he's going to get, and I think they're content with him being the starter. Doesn't mean they might not get a quarterback at some point in the draft, but I think they're content with him being the starter. The other two teams I look at, I think they're both going, wait, are we really going to start the guy that we got on our roster right now? So that's why I picked the Falcons.
I think all three teams fall into that category. I'd say the Seahawks don't belong because they're the team that seems to be on Baker Mayfield's radar, so they don't have to try to reach and overdraft a quarterback if they have interest in Baker Mayfield. Let's go with teams with two top 15 picks. Texans have number 3 and number 13. Jets have number 4 and 10. Giants have number 5 and 7. Which doesn't belong and why?
You're on this one. Okay. All right. Sorry.
Did I skip one?
Yes, you did.
Oh, I skipped
it's
one.
Okay.
I'll
All
go
good.
Back.
All good.
Sorry.
Okay. So teams with two top 15 picks. I mean, I don't even know how to justify which doesn't belong here and why. I mean, I guess the only team, the team I'll look at here is the Texans. I'll throw out there. Just as far as have no idea where they're going to go, and one of their picks are outside, the top 10. A little flexibility there. I'm interested, I think, in them just because of, pick number 3. Where is that going to go? They have a lot of holes on their football team. The Jets, the Giants, they're sitting pretty in great spots. The Texans are as well. I don't know. That was not the best answer in the world. I lost my train of thought a little bit when you skipped one. Sorry.
Sorry, and I apologize.
Nah, you're all good. Error. I don't give a damn.
The Giants don't belong for me because they actually can be a contender this year. They could go out and get impact players with 5 and 7 that make the team better. They've got a new GM. They've got a new coach. They're in a bad division. They're in the conference that's been watered down by defections to the AFC. The Jets and the Texans have no chance this year. And watch, one of them is going to end up making it to the playoffs as I say that. But the Giants at least have a chance. The Giants aren't that far off. And if you get at 5 and 7 an offensive lineman who can come in and play well and a defensive lineman who can come in and play well, you're on the path to making that team better. The challenge is using wisely at 5 and 7, and maybe they get a chance to trade out of one of those spots and get more lottery tickets. I would always do that if I could. I just think the Giants don't belong because they're actually in position to make some noise this year. The other two teams are not. Now back to the one that I skipped earlier. Quarterback curious teams picking later in round one. The Saints, 16 and 19. Steelers at 20. The Lions at 2, but also at 32, which doesn't belong and why?
It's interesting. I mean, I'm still so intrigued with the Saints and what they're doing. I really am, and why they did it. I think they can fill position needs, but I also am going, well, man, the more I look and tinker, because I got to do my mock draft for next week and stuff like that, where I start to look and go, wait, there's a possibility that actually there could be whatever quarterback they want on the board there at 16. But for the sake of this exercise here, I'm going to pick the Detroit Lions here. And the fact that they don't belong and why? Well, because of the two picks and where they are at 2 and 32, I think that makes them very interesting. I don't expect any quarterback going at 2 for sure. We know that. I wouldn't be shocked if they traded down. But the reason I'll pick them too is there's some flexibility for them to do some stuff at the end of the first round and, of course, the early second. But they have pick 32 and pick 34. So if a quarterback they like's on the board at 24 or 25 and they deem that value necessary, they're going to be able to make a play there at the end of the first round and get the guy they want. So that's why I'll throw the Lions as my choice.
I'm going to say the Steelers don't belong because there's something about the Steelers. I made the comment, and it was inaccurate earlier in this month or this draft cycle, that the Steelers will keep their cards close to the vest. They really don't. They don't sweat it. Like, they don't really go
great
extremes to hide it.
Remember?
Last year, everybody knew they were taking Najee Harris.
Right.
Everybody knew they were taking Najee Harris.
Right.
And they took Najee Harris.
Yes.
There's
other instances of that, too. Yeah.
And now you have guys like Ed Bouchette, who has covered the Steelers for years, saying that they have settled on Malik Willis, and I have no reason to doubt that they have settled on Malik Willis. And you know what? If they get him, they get him. If they don't, they don't. They're not going to sweat it. And I think that if they really do like him, they won't hesitate to trade up like they did 3 years ago from 20 to 10 to get Devin Bush. So the Steelers strike me as a team that doesn't freak out about the draft. They have a plan, they stick to it, and whatever it is, we'll find out. But it's not like they're big into curveballs and misdirections. They're very, very pragmatic about their approach. And when I hear reports that they are interested in Malik Willis, that's not a smokescreen. That's reality. Let's take a break. When we return, we'll continue our draft needs series with the NFC North. We'll do that next here on PFT Live.
Toast the Ezekiel bread. Put a half of an avocado on top. On that toast, squeeze a little lemon on it. Give it a little more flavor. Olive oil in the pan. Oh my gosh, do I love olive oil. I cook everything with it. Crack two eggs into that pan. Make sure not to break the yellow. That's a big part of this meal. Flip them over. Make sure it's done. Put them on top. Man, it looks pretty good. Then let's give it a little more flavor. Some pepper, some decoration, a little salt. Cut it in half with some Bigelow tea. Enjoy.
The big effer.
Oh, my God.
With the big breakfast there. He doesn't seem like an avocado toast guy to me.
Oh, trust me. He's anything on anything toast guy. I mean, this is the human dump truck of the world. Nobody has shoved more food in their stomach than Phil Sims. Nobody. I didn't realize, you know, until the last few weeks, he's gone total Martha Stewart on us over here. He's every day is how he makes a meal, how he makes a shake. Oh, my gosh. But, Mike, like, listen, it's all morning long. He's going to wake up. He's going to make that for breakfast. He's going to turn on our show. He's going to watch that. He'll have a sip of coffee. He's going to make a whole nother breakfast.
No, Bigelow tea. No, no coffee.
Oh, sorry.
Bigelow tea.
Bigelow tea.
Bigelow
excuse
tea.
Me.
Get it right.
And then he's going to have another
tea
huge
bag
breakfast.
Out. With a tea bag out of the cup before he starts drinking.
Yeah, the old tea bagger. I know. Yes. Yeah, so
you stop
awesome.
That. All right. Hi, Phil. The avocado toast looks good. Although, let me tell you something. I like eggs scrambled or over hard. And I know you don't eat eggs at all. And please don't tell us why you don't eat eggs. Just it's enough to say you don't eat eggs.
Okay, fine. But I won't say it.
I don't like the runny yolk.
Yeah.
The sunny side up. I don't like over easy where you get this surprise where this yellow liquid flows out over your food. I don't know what's good about that. Cook it thoroughly. Scramble them hard. Here we go. NFC North team needs the Packers can't leave the 2022 draft without addressing. Do we even need to
have this
conversation? Well,
let's see. What do the Packers need? They need to trade up at the end of the first to get one more quarterback. That's what they should do. They should have a team of first-rounders in the quarterback room. That receiver, I mean, right? I mean, it's duh. Receiver. I mean, it's multiple receivers. I mean, truly. I mean, it's multiple. Not only, like, because they need it for the firepower for Aaron Rodgers, they need it just for pure numbers on their roster. I mean, they're limited there. So, yeah, I mean, receiver is the easiest pick in the world for the Green Bay, somewhere in that two picks in the end of the first round.
He said after their playoff loss, he doesn't want to be part of a rebuilding effort, and his receiver room is in
rebuilding
shambles currently.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even rebuilding.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's obliterated. When Randall Cobb is your number one option in 2022, you have a problem. The guy who's only there because Aaron Rodgers had a temper tantrum last year, and that's your number one receiver. That's a problem. So, yes, receiver for them. Vikings, who do not have issues at receiver, can't leave the 2022 draft without addressing what, Chris?
Well, I mean, come on. I can't go first here. This is your team. This is your squad. I got to – who does Mike Florio, media GM of the Vikings and super fan, think the Vikings need to go with here? What position?
You know, it's funny. When I can hear Pete say the words and then they come out of your mouth, I feel like I'm being ganged up on. This is unfair. This is a hostile
work. I started down this road without Pete. I didn't need him.
Hey, I think you can always need more offensive linemen. That team's offensive line is a far cry from what it needs to be to make the offense work. But they also need help in the defensive secondary, specifically at corner.
Yeah,
I know they brought back Patrick Peterson, but he's on the tail end of his career. There's a reason why he was available 3-4 weeks into free agency. So they need help at defensive backs. And you know, the defense, all due respect to Mike Zimmer, I mean, that was his specialty. And the defense sucked the past couple of years.
Yes, it
did. He wasn't developing the players. The good players weren't playing well. I think they really were getting to the point where there was fatigue. That Bill Parcells crap, no disrespect to Bill Parcells, but it doesn't work on today's players after 6, 7, 8 years. They get to the point where they've had enough of it. And I think there may have been – I don't want to say quiet rebellion, but whatever it was, the coaching methods weren't working on the side of the ball where Mike Zimmer had his claim to fame. Now, he would say, oh, there were all these injuries and this, that. You can always line up excuses. Every team can line up excuses. The bottom line is they didn't get it done. They had the talent, and they didn't get it done. But they need more talent at cornerback, especially if they want to be relevant in the NFC.
I agree.
They need to be able to slow down some of the offenses they're going to come across, like the Rams or the Buccaneers, if they're going to be even remotely competitive this season.
Agreed. To me, it's the most glaring thing. You probably could use, maybe another D lineman in the mix, interior D lineman, but corner seems to be number one. Two, I thought great signings by your football team there. We're, of course, getting Za'Darius Smith. That's going to be great, especially you got some 3-4-ish principles on your team now.
If he's healthy.
That could be good. The other one I really liked on there is Jordan Hicks. Jordan Hicks is a really freaking good middle linebacker. He got pushed out of town a little there in Arizona because of a style of play, and two linebackers that were kind of freaky ended up on the board, and they took him. But I did like that. But I'm with you on the corner thing. I think it's corner all the way for Minnesota. It's the number one issue. Look at their team. You're right. And there's no marquee guy that you can really depend on, no island guy. And you said it right, Patrick Peterson. It's year 12. He's a corner. I mean, it's amazing he played as well as he did last year, as is anyways.
Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll continue with the draft needs in the NFC North with the Lions and the Bears when this Thursday edition of PFT Live continues right after this.
Streaming now only on Peacock. 5 rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
Zach Wilson, recently celebrating National Siblings Day. And yes, there is confusion from teammate Elijah Vera Tucker.
Oh, that's
right. I think we can narrow it down to the four in the middle, but yeah, I don't know. Which one is him? At first I thought it was the third from the left, but I think it's the second from the left, yeah. Right? Is that him? From the left?
Right, yeah, second to the left. Pete, we know it's not the girl. Pete's like, yes, we know. It's the second to the left, yes.
You know
what they say, all white people look the same. It's hard to tell them apart there.
The Lions have the second overall pick in the draft. Last year, Zach Wilson was the second overall pick in the draft, and the Lions can't exit this year's draft without addressing what, Chris?
I like how you didn't address my comment there. You just went right over that. That was good.
That will be fine.
That was enough for you. All right. I think this one's pretty clear too. You got a Saints coaching staff. They got those kind of guys. They got no big time edge defender. I expect them at number two to either have Aiden Hutchinson or Trayvon Walker there, and they're going to take that. I do. Offensive line, it's pretty good there in Detroit. I mean, there's some pieces there. They started to run the ball and move some people at the end of the year last year. I don't think that's an issue anymore. Corner, they addressed that a little in free agency. Jeff Okuda will be back. That's something I've looked at. But I think edge is the real thing. They need to get their Cameron Jordan, somebody like that that's going to make that system go on that side of the ball.
I think with that 32nd pick, if they don't end up with Baker Mayfield and they don't have a plan to end up getting him, I think they need to see.
Take Matt Corral from Ole Miss. That's what I would say.
Who's there at 32?
Yep.
Because they're tied to Jared Goff for one more year. After this year, they'll be able to escape that contract, and they can say all they want. Jared Goff is not the answer. When Dan Campbell comes out recently and says, hey, we can win without an elite quarterback, that tells you everything you need to know about what they really think of Jared Goff. He was the guy that they took on as part of this Matthew Stafford deal to get an extra first-round pick, period. And they made it work with him last year because, number one, they didn't have much of a choice, and number two, who the hell cared? They weren't going to be good anyway. This is just part of the getting the extra draft pick. And now with that pick that they acquired from the Rams, that 32nd overall pick, maybe they draft a quarterback that better fits what the Lions are trying to be now and in the future. The Bears, who seem to be tearing it down everywhere, around quarterback Justin Fields. They don't have a first-round pick because of the trade-up last year to get Fields. They can't leave the 2022 draft without what, Chris?
They have some holes. There's no doubt about it. I don't know whether to go wide receiver or, like, you know, D-line. There's no Khalil Mack. He's gone. You know, Akeem Hicks, right? He's still out there in the free agent market. He's gone. I look at the, you know, defensive line and go, oh, wow, they need some help there. But then I also come back to, like, what you just said. I mean, we need some receivers for Justin Fields, don't we?
Yes.
Allen Robinson's out of there. You know, Darnell Mooney's the only guy I look at to be a real guy to go, oh, wow, he's a little scary. He can run by you for a deep post or a touchdown. But, man, if you want to make the guy you traded up in the first round to work here, haven't we seen this story before? You got to get some talent around him. You got to get some players around him to make sure he looks like the guy you want him to look like.
And, you know, when you consider the extent to which they're tearing it down in Chicago, I was on WSCR yesterday, and I don't know, I guess what I said made a little bit of a stir. We were just kind of kicking around the idea that they are tearing it down. I mean, it makes you wonder what they really think of Justin Fields, because now's the time to try to build something, not tear it down. You're tearing it down if you are planning to eventually go get a new franchise quarterback. That's part of the process. It's part of the reason why you tear it down. Why are you tearing it down around a guy that is supposedly your franchise quarterback? And this is one of my concerns. When you bring in a new regime, you don't know what they really think about Justin Fields.
Yeah.
You don't know that they view him the same way the last regime did. They're not going to come out and tell you that, but sometimes their actions are going to tell us. When they're tearing it down around the guy they should be trying to build around, that's not a good sign for what they think of Justin Fields. And that is not a hot take. That isn't a cold, hard assessment of the reality of the situation. They're going to make it harder for Fields to play well if they don't have the help around him. And it's going to look like he's the failure when he can't play well because he doesn't have help around him.
Yeah,
it's his fault. No, it's not his fault. He doesn't have any help.
It's a real aspect. I've wondered the same thing, too. You know, and again, with their, you know, offensive coordinator, it's a guy that, you know, is from Green Bay. He doesn't have the, like, expertise, or he's not known for, like, moving quarterbacks, Justin Fields type of guys there too. So I hear what you're saying. I question the same thing. Hopefully they are behind him, and you're right. They need to put some more talent around him so the guy can play and show us what he's all about.
With the first round of the draft 2 weeks away, as always, there are plenty of Alabama players who will be entering the NFL through round one and the other rounds. When we return, we're going to have a draft of the best offensive players from Alabama currently in the NFL. We'll do that when PFT Live continues right after this.
Ultimately, what is it that you think brings you and all these other guys there to go, screw it, I want to be a part of it, even though it's going to be tough?
Because you want to be the best.
Yeah.
And not just because you're going to win national championships, but day in, day out, you have to be the best version of yourself, because the guys that you're going against are, like, the best in the country.
Right.
At pretty much every position. Like, for myself, the type of receivers that I've seen over the past 4 years is ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
It's really ridiculous. And I get the question all the time of, who was the hardest receiver I had to guard throughout college?
Yeah, I'm going to be asking you that, so go ahead and answer it.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to single out one, but they definitely wouldn't be from any other school other than Alabama.
That's a slice of Chris's interview with Jalen Armour Davis from Alabama, and you can see the entirety of that interview at NBC Sports YouTube page. That leads us to the best offensive players from Alabama currently in the NFL. It has become an offensive juggernaut in recent years, even though Nick Saban, a defensive guy, when he arrived at Alabama, he's converted that team into a high-powered offense year in and year out. Chris, I give you the first pick, the best offensive players from Alabama currently in the NFL.
Yeah, but it's why he's a great coach, too. Like, you laid it out there. He evolved. I mean, he evolved. A guy that was famous for awesome defense when, wait, the way college football set up, the rules, everything, I'm going to go to the offensive side and then just play defense to go, let's get two stops a game, and that's it. And that's why he's Nick Saban. All right. Well, I mean, this is an easy first pick. Thank you for giving it to me. I'm going to take Derrick Henry. I am. I mean, he's still one of the greatest forces of nature in the NFL. We know what he's all about. I mean, power, yes. Breakaway speed, yes. the way they play in Tennessee is so dictated by his talent. So I'll go with Derrick Henry there.
I'm going to do one that's based on not just the present, but a little bit of a projection.
Yeah.
I think Najee Harris is going to have a spectacular second season in the NFL. He was great last year. If they can put any kind of decent passing game around him, he can be even better. But, you know, he just strikes me as one of the guys that is going to make a jump in 2022. And, you know, one of the narratives about the running backs from Alabama, and I know this makes Nick Saban a little irritated, which is one of the reasons why I'm pointing it out, they really do put running backs through the meat grinder at Alabama, and there's always a concern that they're going to be too beat up by the time they get to the NFL. It hasn't happened with Derrick Henry. It hasn't – well, it's too early to tell whether it's going to happen with Najee Harris.
Josh Jacobs, really it didn't happen with.
They really worked those guys at Alabama.
Yeah, there definitely was. I feel like he learned a little bit from, the Trent Richardson. I feel like that – like he started to like, okay, I can't kill these guys. But, yeah, you're right. There's definitely that out there about them, as far as they run the football. They're not afraid to run the running backs. Najee's a good player. All right, I'm going to go with a guy from last year's draft, too. A guy that I should have gave more credit coming out in the draft is Jaylen Waddle. I mean, Jaylen Waddle to me is he's special. He's a weapon, slot receiver, football player, whatever, but like big-time, big-play ability, let alone can run all the, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman great routes for 6-8 yards and do all that as well. So Waddle to me is a guy, projection a little to your point of where I go, watch out. He could be in that top weapon in football conversation this year.
Well, and Waddle's a guy who really came on last year. And when you consider what they have with Tyreek Hill there now, Waddle will have more favorable matchups in theory and can have an even bigger year. This is another one where, it's expecting a big second year. The guy that came in with a lot of hype, who didn't become the first receiver taken last year out of Alabama, Waddle went sixth to the Dolphins, and then Devontae Smith went to the Eagles. I think he's going to have a spectacular second season. He sneakily had a great rookie year.
He did.
You know, we don't pay attention unless the numbers are phenomenal right out of the gates in September, but he still had a very strong season start to finish.
Freak show. He's amazing. I mean, he can blow by you. He made some great catches in the end of the year. Yeah, he found himself, and yeah, he's going to be one of those guys we talk about on a weekly basis as we go forward.
Don't go anywhere. Round three of the draft of the best offensive players from Alabama when PFT Live continues right after this. All right, those are the first two rounds. The best Alabama offensive players currently in the National Football League. Christopher, round three, you are up, sir. Oh,
all right, well, I'm going to go with Calvin Ridley here. I know he's suspended for the year. I don't care. We're just talking about the best players currently in the NFL, and to me, he's the best guy left on this list here. I know he didn't play last year really either, but the year before that was 90 receptions. It was, 1,300 yards, and 8 or 9 touchdowns to go along with it. I hope they reduce his suspension for, I bet $140 on a game. A full year to lose that over that to me is still a little harsh, but I'm going to pick Calvin Ridley, hell of a player.
All right, this is a gift in the spirit of the Easter season. Is it Easter this weekend? I think
it
it's
is.
Easter this
yeah.
weekend. The
Mac
Dolphins
Jones.
Fans out there, no. I am trying to make amends. I'm trying to reach a truce with Tuanon. I think that this year, in that offense with Mike McDaniel, it may be smoke and mirrors. It may be a lot of 3-yard passes. It may be a lot of things that a lot of quarterbacks could do in that offense if they were there. But Tua is the one who was there with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle and Raheem Mostert and Chase Edmonds and a better offensive line and a pretty damn good defense that brought back the defensive coordinator and Mike McDaniel drawing up the plays. I think this year people are going to say Tua is a pretty good quarterback. So I am going to wrap the draft. Hello, Tuanon. Welcome as we end the show. But welcome. We are on board. Tua, Tua, Tua. Are you with me, Chris?
No. I mean, Mac Jones is better. Mac Jones. You should have gotten Mac Jones. I don't know what you're talking about. Guy was in the league for 1 year. He already outplayed Tua. I mean, come on.
Hey, good point. Good point somebody made. Mac Jones now. Josh McDaniels is gone.
Yeah.
No continuity from year 1 to year 2. could be a challenge for Mac Jones.
No question.
We'll see.
I hear you.
Mac Jones and Tua facing off twice this year. Get ready.
Eat it, Tuanon.
Have a good
Eat
day.
It. See
Chris,
ya.
Enjoy your long weekend. Get out of here. Ass.